Welcome to the Joyful Journey podcast, where we embark on a quest for clarity and cultivate lives filled with love, joy, and purpose. I'm Anita Adams, your host and fellow traveler on this path of self-discovery. If you've ever found yourself longing for clarity or searching for ways to make a positive impact in our world, then you've come to the right place. Together, we'll tap into the power of inner wisdom, access our highest selves, and unleash boundless joy. By doing so, we not only elevate our own lives, but also contribute to heightening the collective consciousness. Join me as we dive deep into conversations, insights, and practices that light the way on our joyful journey. Hey, Joyful Journeyer, Anita Adams here, your host. And today I'm excited to introduce you to Donna Cravatta. Donna is the CEO and founder of Cravatta Media Group, which helps authors, speakers, and small business owners pull together all of the parts of their story and mix tried and true strategies with new technologies to be visible and connect with their perfect audiences. Donna is also the creator of BeVisible.club Mastermind and The Real 50 Over 50, The Wisdom Revolution, a visibility project featuring 100 plus women who are quietly making a difference in the world. When I learned about The Real 50 Over 50, The Wisdom Revolution, I knew I had to invite Donna to join us here on the Joyful Journey podcast. Many of you listening to this show are women over 50. You have gifts to bring into the world, and yet you may not know how to do that or how to transition from what you've been doing most of your life into something new or bigger. Donna joins us today to share her wisdom and experience in working with so many others who have reinvented themselves after 50. Although Donna focuses on working with women, what she has to share today will benefit anyone who is looking to recreate themselves and bring their gifts into the world. Welcome, Donna. I am so pleased to have you here with us today.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, Anita. Everything you're saying just lights me up.
I love it. I love the beautiful smile you're sharing with us. It's great. I feel your energy and your warmth and how you really want to serve so many in this world. So thank you for the work you're doing. Now, the best teachers are those who have lived the experience they teach about. So let's start there. I'd love to hear your story of reinvention.
Okay, well, I'll do a quick gloss over of where I started. I was born and raised in old school Brooklyn, New York, and still a New Yorker, but I live about an hour north of the city now. And I worked in law firms for 27 years on the admin side, but did lots of things. And when I left in 2006, I had a pretty significant role. I was kind of like the end user perspective on financial and marketing applications. And I did a lot of, working with the vendors to, create what we needed and then do the implementation and the training. And I created their whole virtual training environment in the early 2000s. And at the time, my son was now 4 years old. I'm a single parent. And he was getting ready to go to school. And I realized, I'm never going to see this child. And I would stand on the train station and cry because I literally could not pick up my foot and step on the train at 7 o'clock in the morning because I knew I wouldn't be home till 9 o'clock at night. And I really would never see my child. So I'm standing there thinking, well, maybe I should put him up for adoption. And I'm like, what the hell are you thinking? And then I was like, no, you're going to find another way to make a living is what you're going to do. And I found a virtual assistant in Florida. And I took a picture, and this was 2005, okay? So there were not very many virtual assistants. It's not like now, right? So I put her picture up on my little cubby at work, and she became my North Star. And I was like, if she could do it, I could do it. I would sit there all day long and say to myself, if she could do it, I could do it. This isn't going to work. This isn't a long-term solution. I got to find something else to do. I've got these golden handcuffs on really tight. And like the job that I had was very unique to me. So it didn't translate well into a resume, you know? It was just like, oh, if nobody else could figure it out, give it to Donna, because I was so in the know institutionally in this law firm that had been around for 150 years, that wasn't relevant anywhere else, you know? So finally, I started a business in 2006, and my plan was for a year, I'm going to do both things and see what happens. Well, that lasted for 2 weeks. And
just
I was
too
eating
much
ice cream at 9 o'clock at night for dinner. And I just said to the guy behind the counter, I'm going to quit my job tomorrow. And he looked at me and he goes, I don't care. And I went and I quit my job the next day. And they tried to get me to stay every which way, because how were they, you know, just like my knowledge was not relevant anywhere else, they couldn't get anybody else to know what I knew. I mean, that came from decades of work.
Yeah.
And I was on as a consultant for a few months till, you know, as I, you know, had to transition off of some projects and finish things up. And, you know, they were just trying to hope, they were hoping I would stay and my business would flop. And I just did whatever I had to do. Like, nobody knew what a virtual assistant was. I was going to BNI meetings and they were like, you do what? Oh, can you clean out my closet? I'm like, you're going to pay me? Sure. And I just did whatever I had to do until social media came into play about 2 years later. And then I fell in love with it. And I had a client at the time who was a hand model, and she had a line of anti-aging hand care products. And this is where I pulled my work together, because hand models don't do anything. So I was doing everything for her. So I learned how to manage her website. I learned SEO. I learned social media. I learned how to do email newsletters. I learned how to do all the things. And I didn't realize I had this PR experience from the law firm. So I hired a PR coach to help me, because she was paying a PR firm in New York City $5,000 a month to get her into magazines. And they didn't know how to do social media. So they got her into all the magazines, but nothing sold. And her hand cream was $75 a bottle. And what I did, I said to her, well, let's fire the PR agency. I'll take it over. And we'll take all this stuff that they got and we'll turn it into other things and share it out on social media. And I got one of the first 100 Hootsuite accounts and just started tracking the hashtags dry hands.
Wow.
And we ended up selling, with no budget at all, $100,000 worth of hand cream in 8 months.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And then I just took that process and I,
wow,
you know, took it to other clients. But at the time, none of they were paying me a couple of $100 a month, these clients. And then I realized what I put together. And this was like 2010, maybe. So nobody was putting these pieces together, because it was the SEO, it was the PR, and it was the social media. Those were the primary pieces. And the recycling of content and the social listening. Nobody was doing this. So I what I did was I pulled it all together and I created a program and I started to teach people how to do this.
Wow.
And I did that for 5 or 6 years. But I was at this point, I was already getting like bigger clients, and managing all of it was too much. And, you know, social media was just changing so much. It was really becoming too much to like keep up with and maintain. And I had a team of 5 or 6 people helping me, and it was still too much. So I kind of scrapped all of that and just worked with the big clients for a while, but until about a year and a half ago. And then I found myself really unhappy because I had painted myself into an agency that I didn't want. So I had this big team that I brought on, and everything was very stressful. The clients were stressful, lots of red tape, lots of, you know, not being able to be nimble and quick in my work, which that's my, I, you know, I've done my time with red tape after 27 years at a law firm. So I stopped and I just took myself through my own process that I help clients with. And I renamed it to Tried and New, So I went through 40 years of working and I edited everything that I did. Like, what do I want to take with me? What do I no longer need? What could we turn into something else? What could be sold? What could be given away? And what just needs to, be burned to the ground?
How
And
long was that process? If
that
it's
was a year.
a year, okay. And
And
that's kind
then
of like doing.
it went a little longer because AI came into the mix. I was just about to launch something last December, and AI, ChatGPT came out on November 30th. I was going to launch, I think it was like December 4th or 5th of 2022. So I had to rebuild everything that I had just built. But most of what I created this whole Be Visible community around came from that course that I built 12 years ago.
I love that. I love that one that you've recreated yourself a number of times, and I think that's part of the journey. It's not a once and done. Like we are
No.
continually to evolve and grow and needing to step back and look at what brings us joy. Where do we feel the most lit up? Where do we feel we can be of greatest service to others as well? Do that inventory, reevaluate, and then take the next step forward. So it sounds like you've done
Yes.
that multiple times in
I
your
did, but I
journey.
used to really beat myself up for this because I thought that there was something wrong with me. Like, why? Because even when I worked in the law firm, I couldn't just do my job. I had to go find things that didn't work and fix them. And because I was bored. I'm not good at doing the same thing over and over again. I remember when I started my business, I hired a coach and she was like, "You should just do newsletters, only newsletters." And I was like, "I can't."
Yeah, shoot me now.
I absolutely cannot do but I used to really beat myself up for this. Like, it was like I would say, like, "What the hell is wrong with you? Just pick a thing." But you know what? When I look it back at all of the work that I've done, it's all the same. I just repackage it. It's all about helping people become visible to the people that
And how
they
you
need
do
to
that is
know.
different, right?
Yeah. And even when I worked at the law firm, I mean, part of what I did at the law firm was I managed the media kits for 250 partners. That's so they could be visible. I
So
mean,
they can
but
be visible.
what was put
That's
in front
interesting.
of me was a mess. And I organized this whole system that I still use to this day. I mean, and that was probably 1996 when that was put in front of me. But I just went through everything that I've ever done, and I was like, if it doesn't make me happy or get me excited, I don't want any part of it. Because even if you are doing something that you like doing and you enjoy and it, is beneficial to somebody, there are still going to be moving parts to that thing that you don't want to
A 100%.
do.
Absolutely. I love doing this podcast, and yet there's parts of this, hosting this that is it's a lot of work. And I'm like,
Yes, it is a
how
lot
much
of
do I
work.
want to put into it? But I love the connection I get with people and the engagement that happens and all the knowledge and the growth that happens. So that outweighs the stuff that I
Yeah,
like less.
exactly. But if you're just doing a bunch of things that bring you no joy at all you're doing is things you hate doing. And that just doesn't make for a happy life.
No, not at all. All right, thank you for sharing that, and thank you also for presencing that it's normal to want to keep changing things up. I think that's important for us to realize that you can't necessarily, or not all of us. I think there's some people that are wired to just do one thing and they love it and they keep doing that one thing. That's awesome. And then
That's not
there's a lot of us who need to keep changing things just to keep it fresh and exciting and finding new ways to maybe do the same thing, new ways of doing the same thing, to keep
And
improving.
there's a second part to that too. I also felt like, if I was going to change direction, like I had to burn down all the ships, you don't have to. A lot of those ships are still good.
Right. That's
So
really
that's
good
where that.
to presence as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
And
because
that's where that.
we feel like we've put so much energy and time and effort into building something, and if we walk away from it, You're not destroying what you've created. You're just adding on to what you've created.
And then you don't, you know, like, because I would always feel like, oh, I wasted more time. But when you can take the experience that you have and the knowledge that you have, the wisdom that you've acquired, and then you could take that and craft that into what the vehicle is that's going to take you where you're going, you don't feel like that anymore.
Yeah. Love that. Thank you. So good. All right. Tell me, tell us about the real 50 over 50. Let's dive into this project, this visibility project. What is its mission and why is it so important?
So in the middle of my reinvention, my last reinvention, the real 50 over 50 just kind of came out of the ether. I was listening to Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC talk about the Forbes 30 over 50 conference. And it was all, you know, women who were like titans of industry, you know, or, you know, somebody famous or household names. And I'm laying in bed thinking, and what about this one? And what about this one? And what about this one? And what about me? So I got up and I started to do, well, what I did was I said, all right, how many women do you know that are over the age of 50 that are doing good work in the world? How long will it take you to make a list, Donna? So I sat down with a pen and paper, and it took me 15 minutes to make a list of women I personally know that are over 50 and doing good work in the world and really quietly making a difference, because they are not titans of industry and they're not household names, but they're changing lives every single day. So I looked at this list and I was like, well, damn. And then I went to my next thing, which was keyword research. And what I was finding was, you know, I did keyword research around women over 50, and I was finding about like how to do your hair, makeup, and clothes, and dating, and, you know, you're dying a little bit every day, and life is going to suck from this point forward, and, you know, better get that burial plot. And then I looked at those words, and then I looked at my list, and I said, if I was speaking to any of these women, if we spoke about any one of these things, it would be solution-based. We'd be trying to figure out how to make something better. So then I go, okay, let me do a little domain shopping. And I was able to buy the real 50 over 50 for a dollar. And I was like, I should have had to fight for this, pay for this, or at the very least negotiate. I should not buy this for a dollar. So that made me see that there really was, you know, conversations needed. There needed some visibility for like women like us that are out there every day on the front lines, showing up and doing the work. And I just reached out to some of those people on that list. And I was like, what if I did a weekly interview show? Would you want me to interview you? And everybody said yes. Within a few days, I had 40 people signed up. Currently, we're a year in now. March 15th, 2023 was our first interview. And we had our 50th interview last week. And over the weekend, we signed up our 100th member.
That's so fabulous. I love it. I think it's so great. And I've spent some time on your website looking at some of these incredible women doing great work in the world. I've watched and listened to your interviews. And I'm going to be a guest on your show. And Joyful Journeyer, I'm waiting until January 2025 before I'm going to be on our show. That's how popular this show has become and how many amazing people Donna has the opportunity to interview. And I'm so delighted that I'll get to play a role several months down the road.
We've only had like two cancellations in these 50 interviews that we've done so far.
Yeah. Well, women are doing amazing things in the world. And I strongly believe that at this stage in life, in our 50s, we're really just coming into our own, coming into our power. And it's pretty darn exciting. Pretty darn exciting. So very cool.
It really is. I mean, listening, conducting these 50 interviews has changed me.
Ah, in what way?
We have women in the age range from 50 to 85.
That's awesome. I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that in a bit, because I find that super Super inspiring, the age range. What I want to ask you now, though, is in your experience working with so many women who have reinvented themselves after 50, what is the biggest hurdle they have had to overcome to truly step into their power?
Trusting themselves.
Trusting themselves. Yes, that's been my thing too.
And you know what I've been noticing too, because it's really funny. It's like this odd sisterhood, you know, because we've got a lot of people that are just 50, 51, 52, like under 55, right? And it's like they're teenagers. And then we've got these women. I mean, we've got quite a few that are in like the 75 to 80 range.
Wow.
I'd say at least a dozen. Okay. And they're so nurturing. And something like, I'm about to turn 60. I'll be 60 in May. And something clearly happens at 62. I'm not sure what that is yet. I'll let you know in a few months, but it is really like, it's like an ushering in to like a new level of being you, you know? Because I'm watching, we also, like, I was born in 1964. And again, I think we have about 10 or 12 people that were born in 1964. So we're all kind of like experiencing this at the same time, which is really, it's really wild, because if we were not doing this together, how would we be feeling? Like, would we be feeling old? Would we be feeling, oh my God, Social Security is right around the corner? Like, that's ancient. Like I got to start thinking about that Part D Medicare thing, you know? But we're doing this together and we're having fun. And it's like, you know, we're trying new things and we're writing books and starting podcasts and traveling. I mean, like the woman who was the 100th interview, she just spent the last month in Aruba.
Nice.
And I mean, it's just so inspiring. I had to get a new life insurance policy. So I'm on the phone with these life insurance companies and they're asking these questions. And one of the questions they ask is like, when do you plan on retiring? I'm like, what?
Never. What do you mean retire?
Why? It's like, it's one. When I'm dead, I'm retired.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Just it's kind of getting over the idea that society has put on us that you're no longer valuable after a certain age. And that's dangerous thinking.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I did this past summer, my son is a musician. He's 21 years old. And I took him to see one of his favorite bands. And I was like mosh pitting with him.
Nice.
He was calling me mosh pit mommy. And I was like, okay, here I am, like overweight, 59 years old. I have AFib and I'm like stage diving.
Yeah, I've been there with you too. I took my 16-year-old, this is a few years ago now, to a weekend music festival. It was the Sasquatch Music Festival at the Gorge in the States. And I didn't really know what I was getting into, but it was me and my husband. We were the only, you know, two people over 50. And the sea of 20 and 30 year olds. And it was amazing. We felt so great. And just being there and having experiencing that energy. But truthfully, at first, when we first arrived, and we were literally in the sea of 20 year olds, we felt totally out of place and uncomfortable, because we were in our head about being, oh, we're the old folks. Yeah. We're the old folks. And over the weekend, we managed to let go of that feeling. And then we were in the mosh pit, bouncing up and down, bumping the air. And it was amazing. It was a good reminder that age is a state of mind more than anything, right?
Hey, if I'm going to break a hip, I'd want it to be diving off a stage.
I love that, Donna. Brilliant. Oh, too funny. All right, let's talk more about your group. Let me ask you this, actually. What would you say to somebody who said that they were too old to reinvent themselves?
I have a list of people I would introduce them to.
get inspired by the women that are in your group? Well,
Well,
let's talk.
not just inspired by the women, but there are women that could professionally help them get past that.
Right.
This is what they do. This
So
is what they do.
Tell us a little bit about some of these women. You said you've got them, you got women in your group 50 to 85, you know, so that's quite a spectrum. Tell us a little bit about one of your oldest members and what she's doing and when she came to be a part of your group, or when she reinvented herself.
We have, I mean, I can keep you going for hours with stories, but before I dive into individual members, one thing I would just like to mention is that almost every woman in this group had a successful corporate career of some, in some way. And they reached a point of, yeah, this is not working for me anymore. Or they were outsourced. And instead of trying to squeeze themselves into a box they no longer fit in, they created a new space for themselves. They followed their hearts. And they're successful. And their own version of success,
right,
not somebody else's version of success. So some of the older women in the community, or I like to say more lived, not older.
More lived. I like that.
And there's a woman, Pat, who is actually my brother's wife's father's ex-girlfriend. And we met when my brother and his wife got married. And she was a PR person from Chicago for many, many years, very high level PR. And she, you know, after she turned 50, she lost several jobs. And after the third one, she was like, I'm just not doing this anymore. I'm going to do what I love. And she loved art. So she created a nonprofit where she supports Black artists in Chicago. And she's turned this into an international organization where she takes artists from Chicago to art shows all over the world. She introduces them to people that buy their art and support them. And then she's got this whole center in Chicago where she kind of takes young artists under her wing that ordinarily might not have access to supplies or the time or the space to be artists. And she creates the space for them to be able to, you know, tend to their craft.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, she's incredible.
Yeah.
And we did a panel with her and two of her artists in December. And it was so much fun because I got to show their art and, you know, hear their stories about how they got started and what the different pieces meant. And it's just really, really lovely. And she is the happiest person in the world because she's doing it's everything that she's wanted to do for years that she couldn't do because she was fighting with somebody over a press release or some nonsense.
Oh, wow.
Another woman, we have a medical medium, and she's a clairvoyant also, and she is 87 years old.
87. Wow.
Yeah. And you'd never know it. And one of the days that I was sitting here reinventing myself yet again, this wasn't that long ago. This was a few months ago. I'm sitting here going, Donna, what the hell is wrong with you? When are you going to stop this nonsense? Just pick a thing. And I happened to speak to Carol that day. And what was Carol doing at 87 years old? She was reinventing herself.
Awesome. And I
was like, well, if Carol could do this at 87, I'm good at 59. And she was like, okay, I got to run now because I'm going to go hang out with my grandkids and jump on the trampoline.
Oh my God.
Yay. But wow. Now what she's doing is she had this course around dragons 12 years ago, the last time it was the year of the dragon. And she's resurrected that course and she's created this whole thing about the year of the dragon. And tapping into the spirituality of the year of the dragon. So she's launching that now. She just put up a video today about that. And, you know, she's 87 jumping on trampolines and talking about dragons.
Wow. I love it. That's so wonderful. How inspiring.
And making a living, making a good living doing this.
Right. Yeah. Not just scraping by, doing what
she's
you
not
love,
scraping by.
Contributing to the world in a positive
yes.
way.
Yes.
And making some money. That's great.
Yeah. And very simply, you know,
Yeah.
I've helped her with some things in her business, and everything is very simple, very basic.
Yeah.
We've got another woman who is 78, and she has been in PR for many years and event planning and all kinds of things, but she's a real connector. And she had this client she was working with, and she didn't even realize what she was doing, but she was making these like multi-million dollar connections. And she didn't see it. She was just like, "Oh, I'm just helping her. I'm introducing her to people." I was like, yeah." And she went and she negotiated a new deal with this client. And I spoke to her just this week, and she's like so happy because she's doing what she loves. She's like making these introductions, and she's making a percentage.
That's wonderful. Wow. I
Yeah,
love that
and
you
she's getting
saw that
on.
and that you were able to help her piece together what she does naturally and how she can then
Yeah.
make that into something for herself. Is that part of what you do with the work that you
That's
do?
really what I do, is
Okay.
I help people find opportunity. I have them see the opportunity, not
Yeah.
really, because they find the opportunities themselves when they could see them. But I didn't realize exactly what I was doing until I took myself through that process.
Interesting.
And
Very.
do you want more stories?
Sure, give me one more, and then I've got a couple
Okay.
more questions for you, and then we'll
Okay,
wrap it up.
so yeah, this one, she's actually changing again. I'm not even sure what she's doing because she just sent me an email the other day and I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But what I know that she was doing when I met her, this is what she was doing. She's also, I would say, late 70s, and maybe about 10 or 12 years ago, she was a communications expert and she had, you know, some important job somewhere. She got laid off over a 9-month period. She got laid off. She had a terrible divorce and she lost two people close to her. And she went to a laughter yoga class just for release, and she loved it. So she became certified. And for like the last 10 years, she has been with dyed pink hair and a clown nose on. She goes into law firms in New Jersey and teaches lawyers how to laugh
That's
and gets
awesome.
paid for that.
That's
And now she's doing something else. I'm not quite sure what it is. I'll let
really
you
incredible. I love that. So following your heart, going and first doing the things that you love, and then discovering what lights you up and leaning into that. So that's what this woman did, and that she
know.
started teaching laugh classes to lawyers. I love it.
I mean, they need it.
Yeah, right. Very neat. That's really,
Yeah.
really cool.
And then we've got more traditional people too, but I these are more fun stories.
Yeah, awesome stories and very inspiring. I love that they're all in their, 70s and 80s. That's
Yeah.
that gives me I won't say hope because I don't feel like I need hope. But it does inspire me that there is so much more ahead of me. And I feel like I'm just getting started with some wonderful things in life right now. And I just turned 55, and it just feels like a great time in life. There's a confidence I didn't have in my, 30s and 40s. There is a clarity of the path I want to follow, and there's this sense of well-being because I started taking care of myself, and that real sense of peace, inner peace, and well-being is has been such a guiding light for me.
In retrospect, I think for most of us, the 30s and the 40s are about relinquishing your space to take care of other people. And
Yeah.
when you get to this point, it's like you get it back. And like, what are you going to do with it?
Go to yoga class.
Yeah, learn how to laugh.
Learn to laugh. Put on a big red nose and make your hair
And
purple.
dye your hair pink.
I love it.
And jump on trampolines and mosh pits.
Yeah.
You know, I
Very
mean,
beautiful. So
it's
what
possible.
advice would you give someone who feels the desire to do more, be someone who can make a positive impact in the world, but they don't have a clear understanding of what that is that they can do or how they can even get started?
Find a quiet space because, between, you know, this whole experience and, you know, my work and what I've done for a very long time, one of the things that I've really learned is that nobody has our answers for us. We have them. And when there's a lot of noise, you don't, you're disconnected from those answers. And you think you start to look externally for those answers. And that's usually where you get led down the wrong path because, you know, the person that's going to sell you the answer is not in integrity most of the time, because we all know they don't have your answer. They could guide you, they could share their expertise, they could, you know, give you advice, but they don't have your answer.
Yeah. That comes back full circle to what we started with. And you said that one of the biggest hurdles for women over 50 moving into recreating themselves is trusting themselves. So that's that you really, if you want to lean into a life that brings you joy, you gotta learn to look inward and listen to yourself and learn to trust that voice.
And it could be challenging. That was really challenging for me because
Me too.
I was a born caregiver. You know, I was told you take care of everybody. This is your job from birth. And I didn't know how to not do that. I didn't know there was another option. So I didn't start exploring any of that until I was in my mid-40s.
Me too. Actually more recently, I've had a couple blips, if you will, in once in my 40s where I touched into really getting to tap into that what I'm call inner wisdom, but not until in my when I turned 51 actually is when I started to really look inward and understand who I am and what I want and why it matters instead of looking outward and looking for the answers outward. I mean, you're right, we're easily led down the wrong path when we look outward.
Because we know that there's something else, and we don't know how to get there, and we can't find that answer, so we assume somebody else has that answer for us. And what is just so ironic is, you know, we won't think twice about, you know, putting ourselves into debt to pay for something that, like, deep down we know isn't going to be the thing that we need
Oh my God, I've done
before we
that.
will take the time to make the quiet to figure out that, you know, I mean, we just need to kind of like go sit on a rock somewhere and figure out what it is that we need, that we want. But it's one of the things that I've really learned through all of this is it's not so much of a reinvention, it's a remembering, because I think it takes us back. And I see this with my son too. Like, when I see my son on stage playing music, he is the purest form of who he is. I see the same faces that he made when he was a baby. And, you know, I know that that is exactly what he should be doing because I see exactly who he was when he was 6 months old. And I don't think that many people give that reflection back to us.
That's so beautiful. And I think you're absolutely right. It is a remembering of who we really are. And over the years, we've been bombarded by the noise of the media and society and parents and everybody else telling us who we should be or what is expected of us. But deep
And
down,
what
we
we can't
know.
and what we can't do.
What we can and cannot do.
And then also there's a big piece around this, around permission. And I always felt like I needed somebody's permission to do anything. But I don't. That's just not true.
I've had that feeling before too, and truthfully, I still have work to do in letting go of that permission piece, you know.
Yeah,
So it's
that's because you're still in your teenage years. You'll get over it.
wait till I'm 60.
Wait
I'm
till
not
you're
going to be
60.
asking for
That stuff
permission
just
from
rolls off your
anybody.
back.
Awesome. I can hardly wait. That's so great. Oh gosh, I feel like I can have this continue having this conversation forever. You speak my language. I love the work you're doing, lighting up, lifting others, lighting the way for others, putting the spotlight on others. It's beautiful. And
Can I just add one more thing?
yeah, please.
When I took myself through that process of really evaluating everything that I did for 40 years of working, because I started working when I was 16 years old, so everything that I did, it was so validating and so It just did so much for my confidence. And I saw not only what I was able to achieve at that time, but like be able to see things that are still in effect based on something that I did 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 30 years ago. And it just, when you start to feel like, oh, I did all of this and none of it mattered, and what was the point? And I wasted my time, and we have this one life. But when you start to look at things like that and really review the things that you've done and kind of reorganize them in a way that makes sense for where you want to go, you now have this really strong foundation. It's almost like, when you used to like defrag hard drives. That's kind of what it's like. It's like you get rid of all that space junk, and now you just have this consolidated foundation that's just based on exactly what you want it to be.
Right. And you can build from
That's,
that,
yes.
solid foundation. I love it. Beautiful. Donna, I understand you have a gift that you want to share with us today. It's the Gather Your Story Guide. Can you tell us a little bit about this gift and
That
how our
is.
listeners can access it?
Just go to my website, cravattamediagroup.com. There's a bar at the top of every page, but it's just a couple of pages to kind of prompt you to do what I just explained. Go through. Like how many things do we have in a Google Drive or a Dropbox somewhere that are half built, or we just haven't looked at for years? One of the things that pops up a lot in my client work is, what are the parts of your book that were edited out? I mean, that's the marketing right there.
Oh,
So,
neat.
like when you start to pull these pieces together, you remember these parts of you that, I mean, some of these things, it was like our entire focus for months. And now it's just sitting around collecting digital dust somewhere. But how can they be resurfaced and upcycled into something that will support us as we build our dreams, you know?
Can this be used as a tool to help us figure out what our next incarnation is?
It's more of a starting point to just start to kind of pull the pieces together. When I was trying to think of what to include, I kind of felt like it could be emotional for some people, and if it's too much, they might not do it at all. So I kept it as basic as possible. So it's either like if somebody was, hitting an emotion as they were going through this stuff, they didn't become overwhelmed and put it aside. Or if somebody was inspired by it, it's like a really good starting point, and then their curiosity will bring them to the next step.
Awesome. Great. Well, we'll include that link in the show notes and all of the different places you are. You're very well spread out on social media so people can find you and follow you and get engaged with you on the various platforms. So we'll make sure I include those links for our listeners. Donna, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom, for inspiring me. I'm certain the Joyful Journeyer listening will also be inspired by what you had to share today. And I'm excited about the future. It's
Yeah,
just
it is.
getting
It's
bigger and better.
exciting. It's exciting. And the other thing, I just like to invite everybody every Wednesday at noon, Eastern time. That's when we do our real 50 over 50 interviews. They're live on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube, and all the links are on my website.
Awesome.
And come, bring a friend. It's a party.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's how I got to meet Donna a little bit. I stumbled upon your live chat and I made a comment and I didn't even realize it was live and I made a comment and then Donna engaged with me during this live conversation and it was really cool. I felt special being included in
It's
the
very
conversation.
casual. When I decided I was going to do a live stream every week, I had to kind of have a sit down with myself and say, you're going to mess up.
Right.
Not
Accept
everything
it.
is going to be perfect, and you're just going to have to roll with it. There's been lots of things. I mean, there was one interview that I did. My internet went out and I got kicked out for 10 minutes, and the guest carried on without me.
That's awesome. That's when you know you've created a good community, eh? That your guests can carry on without you. Well done. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Donna. So appreciate you and your time and joyful journeyer. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Look for Donna, check the show notes, go check out her website and all the cool things she is doing. Get inspired and move into your power. All right, and we will catch you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for joining us on the Joyful Journey podcast. We hope today's episode has sparked something special within you. If you resonated with any part of today's show and you're eager to explore further, visit joyfulinspiredliving.com. There you'll discover additional resources designed to help you unlock the power of inner wisdom and create a life aligned with your highest self. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter and receive a complimentary download of our 3 guiding principles to inner wisdom. These principles serve as a roadmap to clarity, confidence, well-being, and joy. If you have any questions or simply want to connect, reach out. I always enjoy engaging with fellow joyful journeyers like you. Until next time, wishing you joy, love, and inspiration.